Help me, please help me to stay clear in thought and mind. I still am not adjusted to the time. I woke up at 4:15 and took my walk and been awake ever since. The title of my sermon today is Across the Many Waters. Because of the travel that I just participated in, it has something to do with that, but also the mission of the church. So I hope and pray that some of the thoughts that I have and some of the things that I'll present, that it'll help you to understand what we, as the body of Christ, is supporting. Let me see if this works. So my first scripture, I'd like to take us in the Book of Mormon in the First Nephi in the 3rd chapter. And I would like to read verses 180 through 188. Should get over there. First Nephi 3. Whoop, there we go. 180 through 188. That's on page 37. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly, because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, which saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, and thy seed shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. This beautiful promise that we read in the Book of Mormon, this prophecy concerning this work, the Book of Mormon coming forth, and we're able to have it in our hands and to be able to understand what we have. And I know that there are those who struggle with it in this day that we have, not fully understanding that beautiful plan that God had given, that it might come, and for what purposes. One of the things that I hope to at least give you a foundation from some of the basic things that you find in the scripture. What is the mission of the Church of Christ in our day? So what were the takeaways from those verses of scripture that I just read to you? In them shall be written my gospel, my rock, my salvation. That should be something that you should underline in your scripture, because that is the takeaway that the Lord was trying to say. And the other thing is, blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Promoting it, witnessing, being a witness of it, being a witness for Christ and the work in which he is doing and unfolding before our very eyes. Let's go to Jacob in the 3rd chapter of Jacob. In the 3rd chapter, verses 1-12. The The Plan of God in Our Day. That's on page 184, and I'll read 112 through 114. Wherefore, let us take of the branches of these which I have planted in the nethermost part of my vineyard, and let us graft them into the tree from whence they came. And let us pluck from the tree those branches whose fruit is most bitter, and graft in the natural branches of the tree in the stead thereof. And this I will do, that the tree may not perish, that perhaps I may preserve unto myself the roots thereof for mine own purposes. So the coming forth of this Book of Mormon, another witness that Christ, the witness of Christ and his workings among his people, it began that plan in 1830. That plan to help those that were planted long ago by the hand of the Lord to be recovered. That's our mission. That's our mission today. Not only to be the light of Christ where we're at, I don't know how many of you may have caught Trevor Ratz, our brother Elder Trevor Ratz, in his sermon on the 15th of this month, but he did a very good job to distinguish what the church should be focused on and how they should be focused. If you get an opportunity, I would say go and listen to it, because it dovetails to the things that I'm talking about here. To help us to understand, they did a big survey in the church, and the young people don't fully understand, and they don't seem to understand. There are people that don't understand our mission and why we go off to these other lands. It's not that we just decided to go off into these other lands. We were led of the Spirit to go and do those things. He opened the door. And that's what Trevor Ratt was talking about. We're different than all the other churches because we depend on the leading of the Spirit of God to lead us to where His work is. And we need to understand it and not fight against it and support it in all aspects. Some of the things that Jared was speaking about today, about those coming out of Babylon, there's plenty of opportunities wherever we're at. But the great mission right now, in that sense, that focus, is the recovering of these branches that were planted a long time ago. So what was the takeaway? Take the branches of these I have planted in the nethermost parts, in areas that are remote. Isn't that kind of where we find ourselves at? In Africa, Kenya, Mexico, Honduras, India, Ethiopia. Of my vineyard, and graft them in into the tree from whence they came. What was the other takeaway? Pluck from the tree those branches whose fruit is most bitter. That's that pruning that's taking place. And it has taken place when the Book of Mormon came forth. It really goes all the way back to the time when Christ and his disciples went out to all the world to preach the gospel. In all the many nations, and where Paul went and established churches among the Gentiles, and it grew. And we know the history of the falling away, but they were there. And they were part of that tree. And this is talking about that they would be plucked, the most bitter parts. Let's turn to 122 as we continue on here. And this I do, that perhaps the roots thereof may take strength because of their goodness and because of the change of the branches, and that the good may overcome the evil. And that's a very important thought there. And because that I have preserved the natural branches and the roots thereof, that I have grafted in the natural branches again into their mother tree, and have preserved the roots of their mother tree, that perhaps the trees of my vineyard may bring forth again good fruit, and that I may have joy again in the fruit of my vineyard, and perhaps that I may rejoice exceedingly that I have preserved the roots and the branches of the first fruits. The first fruits was what came through that beautiful promise through Abraham and through his seed. And then we know that it went to the Gentiles. Before it went to the Gentiles, we know from this prophecy of Zenos that there was those plantings that took place. Israel was scattered throughout the world. And the Lord is, in this day, is focusing on those plantings. The takeaway: this I do, that the good may overcome the evil. You could read in the Book of Mormon where the Lamanites and the Nephites had two different ways of approaching the Gadianton robbers. And the ones that were successful was the Lamanites, because they preached the word of God fervently among them and was among them. And they were able to help convert some of those most wicked people. The Nephites saw no value in it. Who was destroyed? Who fell away? It was the Nephites. It was the Lamanites that were the converted Lamanites, the ones that were maintained their faith through all those trials. It's an important thing to think about. The other part, that I may have joy. That's what the Lord is looking for. Again, in the fruit of my vineyard, that I may rejoice exceedingly, that I have preserved the roots and the branches and the first fruits. And that was the promise, that there would be a remnant that would be preserved. And he's going to see through to the end that it's going to be. First Nephi in the third chapter. Let's go to verse 192. It's on page 38. So 192 to 203. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, speaking of the Book of Mormon, shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all the kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Wherefore they both shall be established in one. For there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after he's manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power and very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be blessed, a blessed people upon the promised land forever. Remember what you read in the scriptures. where we're adopted heirs, the Gentiles are, when we take on that covenant. And that's what it's speaking about. But the first fruits are those from the seed of Abraham. So we're becoming adopted heirs to the covenant of Abraham. That's an important part of the whole picture that the Lord has laid out throughout the prophecies and throughout the Book of Mormon and the Bible both. So the takeaway here, these last records, meaning the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that's going to be the tools seen among the Gentiles. It'll be in the hands of the Gentiles. It's going to establish the truth of the first, of the apostles, of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Two witnesses before the world to be presented to the remnant as well as anyone who cares to listen, to have ears to hear and a desire to know. That I may have joy. Again, in the fruit of my vineyard. That's the true desire of our God. Because with that joy, he knows they're going to live with him and be in his kingdom with him. So let's turn back to Jacob in the third chapter. Should have kept my... In the third chapter, verses 125. Wherefore go, this is on page 185, Jacob 3, starting with verse 125. Wherefore go to and call servants, with who and when, that we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, the seed of Abraham. Which natural fruit is good and the most precious above all other fruit. Wherefore let us go to and labor with our might this last time. For behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is for the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. Graft in the branches, beginning at the last, that they may be first, that the first may be last, and dig about the trees, both old and young, and first and last and first, and all that all may be nourished once again for the last time. And if you remember what I read in Nephi, first Nephi in that vision, it went to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, then it's going to go to the Gentiles and back to the Jew. And that's where we're at. So the takeaway there, the servant here that you read in the Book of Mormon is Christ. And he was commanded to the Lord of the vineyard, who was God the Father, to call servants, which he did. That we may labor diligently with our minds in the vineyard, where God sends us, wherever it may be, individually, or collectively as a body. And that's kind of what Trevor talked about a little bit. That I may bring forth the natural fruit, the righteousness that comes from following the word of God and keeping his commandments. And then the other part of it, graft in the branches, beginning at the last. The last was the Gentiles, now the Gentiles, and then the first. And dig about the trees, both old and young, that all may be nourished once again for the last time before Christ comes. That gives you a timetable as to where we're at in the dispensation of time concerning the prophecies and the promises that the Lord had laid out in the scriptures as to the coming of Christ and that beautiful kingdom that he'll for a millennial reign. So I have a couple, just these last few scriptures, and I'm done with the scriptures, and I'll be going to something else. Let's go to verse 136 here in Jacob, because it's important also. 136 through 139. And it came, this is on page 186. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mites with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. So the takeaways, the Lord of the vineyard is sent his servant, which is Christ. The servant went and brought other servants, and they were few. That's another thing that we struggle with, because we're a small entity, and this is a large job God has given us to do. But if we have the faith of a mustard seed, how can one man, how much can one man do with the power of God, or one body by the power of God?
Speak up, Gordon.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. And I'm losing my voice too. The other takeaway, this is the last time that I will nourish my vineyard. There's not going to be any more in this dispensation of time. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. So my next slide is kind of busy, but it's a little timetable. You can see at the very top. Starts at 1830. That's when this book came forth by the power of God. That's what it was speaking of. That's what we just read. The restoration of the Church of Christ according to the prophecies of Revelation, the 14th chapter, 6th verse. That was the beginning. And it was among the Gentiles. And it flourished for a while. And then there was those breakaways. And then the tide started turning, coming to our day, within our time frame, in 1951, when the opening came. Our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, fulfilling the prophecies of Christ. When he spoke, he said, when this record is in your hands, that's in the 9th chapter, you can read it. When it's in your hands, know that this is now begun. It's the beginning of that restoration. That branch took its place in the root, within the tree. Something was plucked away from it, and it was put in its place. That's that picture. In 1953, the church was established. Then we find that there was some time that went by. We find the Six-Day War, 1967, a very important date, because that was during the fullness of the gospel, as in the 9th chapter says, when it was going to come to our brothers and sisters in Yucatan. That was during the fullness of the Gentiles. But now we're in 1967. That's the end. That's what Christ said. When Jerusalem is in the hand of Israel, as it became the capital, that was an end of an era, a turning point in the prophecy. The focus is now focusing fully upon reclaiming the remnant of Israel, those branches that were planted long ago in those far parts. So in 1998, the first church was organized in Honduras. In 2000, the work began in the nations of Africa through a vision. The apostles had already were called. The Lord called servants for that work. It wasn't by accident. And it went forth. And it grew. Not by us, but by the power of God and the Spirit that was with them. And then in 2001, the work opened in the Philippines, and it grew as well, rapidly. So you see, the church has been following the Spirit as it would lead us in this work that God has preordained would happen through his prophets. It's not that we've been sitting around idle. But he has worked with us in our weaknesses. And it's important for all of us to understand and to see and to praise God for being able to be here to see that, because there were many, these people here, when they were writing it and they were able to see our day. And we're living it. Praise be to God. This is the bay there in Panabo, over there in the Philippines. One of the first places we went to was Malinao. I have to get the syllables right. Malinao. That is a new mission. The priest that is overseeing this particular area is a guy named Rudy Alayo, or Rudzi is his real name, but we call him Rudy. He has been instrumental in opening up three new missions in the area. And this was to be a celebration of them coming together as a body of people. Now, it's located, as you can see it, on top of a hill. And it had been raining the first week that we got there. It was raining so hard. The last time I heard it rain like that was when Andy and I were trying to conduct a young people's gathering. Mount Carmel in the Philippines. It rained solid for 4 to 5 hours or more, day after day after day. But so the roads were all muddy, and that's why we had to take bikes up there to be able to get up there. And as you can see, our brother Mike climbing the mountain. That's the only way to get up there safely. And as you can see, they're giving thanksgiving to the Lord. They brought their fruits and their vegetables. They have balloons. They sing songs. They offer testimonies. They have glad hearts. Some of the things that they do when they begin their services is they'll have several songs in the beginning of just happy songs that they're together. And then they'll have a greeting song to go and greet each one. And then they will bring their hearts and mind where, like you read in the scripture about singing psalms and praises to God. Actually, prayers. And then you're introduced as the speaker. Some ways I really enjoy it very much. Imagine Adam would love it with the singing and the rejoicing. It's something a little different than what we experience here within our own congregations throughout the United States. One of the things that I want you to understand is these people have come out of other churches. The Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, Catholics. Why? Because they're dissatisfied. They're not being fed. And they see a difference. And they come. Look at the diversity of the people there. From little babies that we blessed, to young people, to the older ones. All there to worship God. A little fun. We went up on a motorcycle with all the mud and the ruts, and we were hoping we weren't going to fall. There was a huge truck that had copra, which is coconut where they've husked it. They've opened it up and dug out the coconut and dried it and then put it in bags. So we all climbed up on top of that truck because it would be a little bit safer than riding a motorcycle down the hill. And they didn't believe that I was going to get up there with them. And that's all the smiles. Hey, this white guy is up there with them, this old white guy. But we had a great time coming off that hill. You can have fun. Like Hubert says, I've had more fun than anybody could expect, you know. This is in Panabo at the headquarters. You can probably remember this. This is when we had the service and we broadcast it. One of the things that you can see, they had the screen split four different ways, looking at different angles and all kinds of stuff. She was a whiz at that. I don't know what they're using, but you can see one of the things that they love to do is sing and praise the Lord. And then I had to enjoy the fruit that was there. The mangoes were ripe this at the time we were there, and the pineapples were as well, so I had to show that off. I love fruit. Here's our next stop. It's up on top of a hill again. If you notice at the bottom, I don't know if it's your right or left, but you see that car through the doorway? That's no exaggeration. It's tough just to walk perpendicular to that road because you're doing this. That's how steep it is. Now, when I first went up there, it was a dirt road. You had to park way down and you walked up to it, sitting up on the hill. NOAA mission. It's been there for quite a while. It's an older group, very stable group of people, faithful people. But a happy people. Here's some more pictures of them. Brother Wilson, it's his elder Wilson. Manali is the elder over that zone. You can see them here. I love taking pictures of little kids. They bring joy to me when I see them. And they're all around. And again, singing songs and praises. And as you see there, they're in solemn respect as well as they're conducting the service. This particular local is the Cabalao local, Elder Roger Manali. This is the one that was destroyed in the earthquake, and it's been rebuilt. Some of you helped finance that through your donations and things. Their main way of making money, if you look at the bottom there, it's the rubber trees. They score the bark, and they have little coconut shells down there, and they collect the sap. And when it hardens, they pull it out and keep it in a bag and then set it off to the side. They come by and pick it up, and they leave them the money. But there again, this is a faithful group that's been there for many years. Roger was in the military, and he was in the army. And one of the things that he had a difficult time was he felt guilty because he had killed people in the army, in war. And he had a conversation with several different people, but one was our brother Jay, which helped him to understand the power of God and his loving kindness and strength. And he's a faithful man. When we were there, he had real high blood pressure. We had to send him off to the doctors because he had been ignoring it. And a lot of them do because of hypertension and different things because of their diet, especially from rice. They can eat a plate of rice that would choke anybody here like this, and it's piled, and they'll eat it all in one setting. But they burn a lot of it because they're up on the hills and they're climbing and doing all kinds of labor, but it's not very good for them. And so as you can see, up on the hill, how to get there, and the congregation, again, singing, the different ones. Our send-off committee down there at the side of the road as we leave, that's a standard place where all the kids go to wave goodbye as we leave. And then we have our standard doggies in there as well, making sure they can get some of the food afterwards, so when we are able to eat or just enjoy laying on the floor. And there's the beautiful view coming off the hill. This is a picture of in Nupatan. It's our youth camp land, and we were walking and looking what we're trying to do. The bananas. The whole industry is upside down because of some changes in the industry, as well as some of the diseases that have come and attacked the banana plants. So we're looking at the prospects of doing something else, like maybe plant corn, which they're doing now, where they can make money and to use it in a wise way. There's still bananas, so you get it off. If you notice George there, George is our brother, an elder, George Gabriotis, Zone 4. But anyhow, you see the bananas there. And then we're also raising pigs. Those are a commodity that sell and are very very tasty as well. That's the road. They finally put a paved road. Before, it was just a gravel road in front of our youth camp land. And as we were there, we it's right near a local, Kahaiheg local, where Elder Arturo Superior is. As you can see, that's how they roast the pig. We happened to be there during his wife's 63rd birthday, Melanie. And so we were able to celebrate a birthday at that time. And that little kid there is Lucas, the new addition to the Alameda family. And he is, I've got a little video of him. He says his prayer over this food and he goes, yay, afterwards, you know. He's cute. I love it. But anyhow, they teach him when they're young to serve the Lord and to remember him. Now, this is a picture of what?
I just never seen him in overall.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't think about it. Sorry, Mike, but he wouldn't mind. This is where the headquarters is in Panabo. And there's a story behind this. There's a testimony behind this. Okay, so in the middle we have a deed, a transfer deed. If you look, a vacant lot, and it butts up against, at the bottom part is up against our headquarters. You see our headquarters there, and there's a for sale sign there on the tree. And then you can see it's just an empty lot there. Well, our dear sister Lolita had been praying for 20 years that lot would be available for sale. Mike had been asking for almost 19 years. Who owns the lot? Find out how much it costs. Well, we don't know, and they don't want to sell. And that's been the story all this time. And then one day when we were there, they went by and saw that sign on the tree. And they called and found out that the price was the 200 square kilometer, what is it, meters or whatever, the same property just right behind that house over there is for 3 million pesos. They were asking 850 pesos for that lot. And then it was negotiated down to 750, and we bought it. It's just under $10,000. It's nine something. The story is, when we told our elders, when we had the meeting, we told the elders that we bought the land. One of the elders stood up and he said, "I got a testimony. I got to tell you this." He hadn't told us. 3 years ago, he had a dream. And he had a dream about that a church would be built on there, because Lolita had been praying about it, but it was going to be made out of bamboo, which is one of those not lasting churches you find up in the mountains. And this is all in his dream. And Lolita said in his dream, "No, we're going to build it permanent, the Panabo local there. It's going to be a permanent structure." He said, "Okay." 3 years ago. Guess when this land was on for sale? 3 years ago. And it didn't sell. They had it at a real high price. They dropped it, dropped it, dropped it, and dropped it, and dropped it until we bought it. We can't help but praise God for that blessing. Because now we're able to have that extension right next to our headquarters. The Panabo local could build their building, have a place to park the vehicles, and not have anybody build right on top of us. It was a beautiful blessing. And prayers answered. This I thought you'd enjoy. They were all very excited about bringing us those two coconuts with the purple stuff. And we were kind of wondering what it was. Yeah, but it was not bad. It had coconut and ice cream and different things in it. You see that thing in my hand? That's actually rice. It's made from coconut milk and then cooked. You eat it for like a breakfast or a snack. If you notice, they do have a drive-through down one of the towns I took that. It's Joy Chicken. That's what they call fried chicken, Joy Chicken. So, and then those little tiny zapatas is Lucas's shoes. Thought you'd enjoy that. Now on to another local. This is the Consuelo local, Elder George Cabriatis. In zone four, very, very active group. They've got a lot of good young people. There is the gal down below there, as you see, I'm having my picture taken with her. Her name is Doni June. She spent 1 year going through our Book of Mormon that had been written some time ago that we published in Cebuano. And she went through it and made the corrections that was necessary. And she'll be sending them to me. She's going into her fourth year of engineering, mining engineering. And she's engaged to one of the sons of Brother George and Nelsie Cabriatis. But what the interesting thing is, she speaks perfect English, and she substituted as a translator. And she did it with all kinds of joy. One of the missions that George supports is San Marcos. The reason why we went here is because it was a Thanksgiving, because they had to move their mission. If you notice all the water, that's after it's receded. If you remember that horrible flood that they had more recently, it flooded that whole area. All that was all running like a lake through there, running through there. And if you notice, it's up on stilts. But again, another congregation that is diverse and active in praising the Lord. There's a testimony in this particular one here. If you see the young man in the middle there, he's got a tissue and he's crying. He's the leader, Renan Buskankin. He bore his testimony. He's a young man who did not live in the area, and he had made some bad choices in his life, and God had brought him to a point where he had to make a decision. And he came across Nelsie and them, and they invited him over, and he came and lived in that area and came to church. And God did what he does good. He healed him, forgave him, and lifted him up. And those are tears of joy for the forgiveness that was given to him. One of the things I want you to notice, you see that gal? There was two baptized, they were baptized, the young man and the young woman were baptized before we got there and we were confirming. I want you to look at that young lady down there. Look at her face. Who does she remind you of? Where could we put her, Jay? Where she would fit right in. She would fit right in with our Mayan brothers and sisters. If you notice her nose and her forehead and her features, they're different. She lives in a remote area, in that area there, up in the remote area that is not, where there's not a lot of intercourse between different nationalities and different things of this nature. So that kind of, their DNA isn't mixed up a whole lot. And she's more of a purebred, which we believe that they're part of Israel that came to the islands long ago. And there's physical evidence of that as well within their language and within some of the sites there in Mindanao that they have, the Hebrew writing on rock and different things. Gold mine. It may have been gold that was, as you read, in the Isles of the Sea that were brought back to Solomon's day. Anyhow, that's the picture of that. Here we are, we're leaving. As usual, the Church of Christ, we eat, and they always put out a beautiful buffet. I just thought you'd get the feel of the people and the food and the different things. One of the things is when we were there at St. Marcos, there was another group. They were waiting for us patiently and tagged by Yang Bang Mission. And when we got there, they were very happy that we came. This was after all our services and all the time that we spent at the other place, we came here and visited with them and prayed with them. Another beautiful thing that we were able to do is when we came back to Panabo, there was a young man that wanted to be baptized. It's within the family, within the Alameda family. It's Leah May's, Lodi J's wife's brother, Gilbert. He was, he came out from another church. His wife left him 5-6 years ago. He's been raising his own son. He's a very good man, and he's a farmer. And he had been, what convinced him to get baptized is that he's been traveling with us and others as we're able to preach and to teach, and he could hear the word. And the Lord touched his heart and called him, and he was baptized, and that's what we see here. I thought it interesting. You see that long path there? That's what we walked to go out there to do that, to go out to the bay because the tide was out. There's another church. This is one of the biggest ones there, the Compostela Local. It's by Elder Tobias Opero and Priest Denmark Remarca. He's a new priest. We, by the way, we have 19 ministry in the Philippines. One is not active because of his age and dementia. There's a little story here. You can see how big that church is, and it's pretty opulent. We did not pay for it. We did not build it. Brother Tobias had 3 children of his own. There was 2 orphans that he took into his house, and he raised them as his own children. And one of them, the oldest, became a very prosperous person, and he wanted to give back something to Tobias. And with his own money, he built that. And he handed him the keys and said, "Here you go." But this local, if you notice, is a thriving local. They have anywhere between 200 to 300 people coming on services. The young people down there, that's that middle one with the gal with the orange dress, almost 50 young people in that congregation. The other Sunday school is the elder guys that were meeting there. They have their problems, as all locals have, but the one thing they are is a beautiful light in that area, and they've attracted a lot of people, not just because they have that building, because they had another building that was nothing like this, that was always full as well, that we always went to. One of the things that they love to do, again, sing, and Michelle would love this with costumes and everything, perform, right? The young people and all the ladies singing and the different ones. They all desire to participate. This is our brother in Dangan, the one that an elder who was baptized by Frank Phan in 2001 in July. And our brother Frank Phan and our brother Jay Moser confirmed him. Wasn't he one of the first members? Of three. And we were able to visit with him. It's kind of difficult to understand, but he's still in there. His son Danny is overseeing the local, and with his wife, and doing a very good job. But he is a very faithful man. You realize that he was a Baptist teacher at a seminar, right? Yeah, he taught at a seminary for a Baptist church. And he saw, when he was introduced to the Book of Mormon, he left it. In fact, I'm trying to think, there was somebody there, I think it was Tobias. Tobias said that I was one of your students in your class. So Tobias had come out of it as well. Then last but not least, there was a bunch of people that had birthdays in May. Myself and Brother Mike, ours is one day apart. Brother George and then Omega May. And so they had to have a birthday celebration before we left for the birthday boys and girl. And that's our trip. One of the things I wanted you to see and to understand that it's very active. They're coming out of the other churches because of the truth. We're fulfilling the prophecy that I read in the Book of Mormon. And it's a joy before God because of the fruit that they're bearing. It is not for naught. God be praised. And this isn't the only place. So may God bless us in the work in which God leads us to do, is my prayer. Thank you.